Let's continue reading verses 14 through 21 of Ephesians chapter 3. Now, in the second half of the chapter, we have Paul's prayer for the Ephesians that they would be spiritually strengthened. Ephesians 3, beginning now at verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Once again, let's begin this second half of Ephesians 3 with some background notes. We come now to the last section of the doctrinal portion of this wonderful book of Ephesians. Chapters 4 through 6, remember, contain the practical exhortations to believers based on the doctrinal portion of the letter. Notice that the three chapters of doctrine begin with a doxology and end with a doxology. Look back at chapter 1, verse 3. You're beginning your doctrinal section with a doxology. Now you'll see in chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, you're ending the doctrinal section of Ephesians with a doxology. Between these two doxologies, we have some great doctrinal truth revealed. We have the great truth and theme of the book that all believers, Jew and Gentile, are one in Christ. Forever, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit and the body of Christ. He is the head. We are his body and will enhance his glory forever. Some wonderful truth here, right? Now, in this last section of Ephesians 3, we have a prayer that we would be spiritually strengthened as to our participation in God's eternal program and purpose. Now remember, this is not only a prayer on the part of Paul for the Ephesian believers. It's God's word to us. And that brings us then to our doctrinal point. Believers are capable of being spiritually strengthened. Believers are capable of being spiritually strengthened. Remember, our doctrinal point for the first prayer in chapter 1 was that believers are capable of being spiritually enlightened. Here the focus of the second prayer in chapter 3 is on spiritual strengthening. Verse 16, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. So our doctrinal point then is believers are capable of being spiritually strengthened. Once again, we have two subpoints under this doctrinal point. Subpoint A, the source of spiritual strengthening. Subpoint B, the results of spiritual strengthening. So subpoint A, the source of spiritual strengthening, verses 14 through 16. The source of our spiritual strength and strengthening is obviously God the Father. Verse 15 says that it is from him that the whole family in heaven and earth is named. What does that mean? That is, every family or kind or order in heaven and on earth is subordinate to God and finds its source in God. So verse 15 then emphasizes the supremacy of the fatherhood of God and thus the magnitude of the resources available for our spiritual strengthening. And notice in verse 16, that these resources are according to the riches of his glory. Our Heavenly Father is not only supreme in power and authority, but in wealth as well. And all of this spiritual power and spiritual wealth is available for our spiritual strengthening. And here's the great point. We are capable of being spiritually strengthened because of the inner man. Verse 16. Now, what's the inner man? The inner man is that spiritual part of us that is now alive in Christ. You see, we were once spiritually dead. Now we are spiritually alive. We've been born again. We have divine life. The Holy Spirit who indwells us enables and empowers and strengthens the inner man. So God our Father, through His Spirit, is the source of spiritual strengthening. Subpoint B, the results of spiritual strengthening, verses 17 through 21. Now these verses could be looked on as additional requests in the prayer, but they are all dependent on the spiritual strengthening of verse 16. So I would like to look at the contents of these verses as the results of spiritual strengthening. Result number one, greater fellowship, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now the idea here is not salvation. No, the idea here is fellowship with Christ, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Let me ask you here this morning, does Christ dwell in your heart? What is the center and focus of your heart? Your job or career? Your home? Some hobby or sport? Or to put it another way, is Christ at home in your life? Are you in fellowship with Him in every area of your life? Can you take Jesus with you wherever you go, at all times? A result of spiritual strengthening is greater fellowship with the Lord Himself. Result number two, greater love. Also verse 17, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say rooted and grounded in truth. That's very important, but that's understood here. But a result of spiritual strengthening that you would be rooted and grounded in love. You know, there's a lot of Christians who are rooted and grounded in truth, but they're not characterized by love. To be characterized by God's love is a sign of spiritual strengthening. Result number three, greater comprehension, verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height of what? There's no object given here, is there? It's most likely God's love here because of the context. Now, what is the breadth of God's love? The world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. What is the length of God's love? Forever. 1 Corinthians 13:8, love never fails. What is the depth of God's love? The cross. Philippians 2:8, our Lord left heaven's glory, took upon Himself humanity, went to the place of death, even death on a cross. What is the height of God's love? Heaven. Read 1 John 3:1-2, and you will see there that because of God's great love, we are His children and will be His children in heaven forever. Result number four, greater knowledge. Verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Now, how do you know something which passes knowledge? Sounds like a paradox, right? Sounds like a paradox, but the point here is that the love of Christ transcends the mind and is exhaustless. You can never know the love of Christ just with head knowledge. It's a matter of the heart. It must be experienced. Let me ask you once again here this morning, have you been spiritually strengthened to the point where you know the love of Christ in this way, by experience? Or do you just know the facts about God's love? Result number five, greater filling, verse 19, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now the idea here, of course, is not that you would become God. Only in our Lord Jesus did the fullness of deity dwell. Colossians 2:9. The idea here is for us to be filled with all the spiritual resources available to us from God. Illustration. Think of an ocean labeled the fullness of God. The fullness of God meaning all of God's resources. Now we have a glass that we dip into this ocean and fill this glass to the brim. Now the full ocean is not in the glass, but the glass is filled with the ocean. You see the illustration. To be spiritually strengthened is to be filled with all the fullness of God. Result number 6, greater power. Verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Verses 20 and 21, we've already seen, form the doxology at the end of the prayer. But in this doxology, we can see two further results of spiritual strengthening, greater power and greater praise. You know, when we get to heaven, I'm sure we're going to be amazed at the power and resources of God that were available to us, but that we lost out on because we didn't practice the truth of this verse. Note the super superlative here. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. We need to think bigger. We need to pray bigger. We need to take bigger steps of faith. Not blind leaps out into the dark, no, but greater, bigger steps of faith. Our God is a big God. Spiritual resources are there. The power is available. You know, I'm totally amazed at what God is doing right now through our website. To think that devotions and talks and God's truth is going around the world, anybody with a computer anywhere in the world can download. I mean, I only wish I had greater faith. Brothers and sisters, we need to take bigger steps of faith. Result number 7, greater praise, verse 21. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. As we are spiritually strengthened, we will praise the Lord more for his great and glorious eternal program and purpose, which we, the church, the body of Christ, are part of forever. So we've had 7 results of spiritual strengthening here in the second half of chapter 3. Believers are capable of spiritual strengthening. Now, what about practical application? Are you a spiritually strengthened Christian or still a weak Christian? Are you a spiritually strengthened Christian or still a weak Christian? Now, we're not talking here about how brave a Christian you are or how much Bible knowledge you have as a Christian or how well you can defend the faith. These qualities are certainly good and evidence of a strong faith. But to be spiritually strengthened is the subject here. You can be a spiritual Christian from the day of your conversion, but you can't be a spiritually strengthened Christian from the day of your conversion. It's a matter of maturity. It's a matter of being strengthened. You must be spiritually strengthened. Are you a spiritually strengthened Christian or still a weak Christian? Go through the results that we had here in this prayer as a checklist. Is there greater fellowship, greater love, greater comprehension, greater filling, greater power, greater praise in your life? Good question for all of us, isn't it? Are you a spiritually strengthened Christian or still a weak Christian?